believability is an important thing. And I think it doesn't necessarily have to come with the texture of the story and what it's made up of and the places that it goes. I think what stands more for believability is the person delivering it. A person delivering it that comes across in every other piece of writing or any other medium that you know the person through, if they're pretty seemingly sane and normal, and then this one thing just sounds utterly unbelievable, but other than that, they are very much, you know, up and up, and you can trust them, you got to start to wonder, maybe that unbelievable thing you should take a look at and believe. There are many things out there in the world of the paranormal and supernatural that, depending on, I guess, your level of acceptance of things out of our normal realm, would have to fall somewhere on that scale. Believable, unbelievable. Today we have two stories for you that touch that scale, that they even kind of touched that scale for me a bit as I first read them. But as I got more and more into the stories, I started to go, I think there's something going on here. First off, did a woman come face to face with a guardian angel? An angel who once in life was a major celebrity. Sounds like it could kind of go off the wall, I know. Hear it through. There's a lot of very bizarre things, and this person seems just as genuinely shocked as anyone else would be. And then, send this thing back to hell where it belongs. It's actually the last line of how this story ends. But how does it all start? This is a very intriguing one of someone who truly has led a very haunted life. We got these stories for you in EPP bonus episode number 418 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When someone tells you a ghost story or a story more specifically like a guardian angel type story, a lot of times we will associate it with maybe a deceased loved one that's watching out for them and helping them navigate life in one way, shape, or form. Not very often do we hear someone thinking that maybe their guardian angel is a celebrity and actually finish out the letter kind of making sense. And because I say that because sometimes you'll get to like something really extreme and then you can tell, oh, there's something not quite right here. And you don't want to read it because it goes off the rails a bit. This one, not so much. This one really was like, they were just as surprised at who they thought was their guardian angel as to why and the time that the fascination with this person came on. Very interesting timing with the death of a loved one. And having had no previous interest in this deceased celebrity at all until that moment. Very, very interesting. Take a listen, find out who it is, and enjoy. Ever since I was a little kid, I experienced various ghostly encounters. Maybe not too many, but one of my earliest experiences was witnessing my mother astral project when I was 6. If that even counts as a ghostly experience of some kind, this occurrence in the house I grew up in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. I'm lying in bed, wide awake. All of a sudden, I see a ghostly vision of my mother float through the hallway. Kind of freaking out a bit, so I called out to her. She responded from the next bedroom and told me that everything was okay and she knew what was going on. Outside of that experience, my first experience came when I was 8 in the same house where I witnessed my mother astral project in Wheat Ridge. I was lying in bed, wide awake. All of a sudden, I see a shadowy figure walk from our front door to the kitchen area, which was a straight shot. I heard no door open and close, nor did I hear the floor creaking from someone walking. Next day, I asked my parents if they were up the previous night to go outside. And they both said no. In 2008, when I was 31, I was at a friend's house in Westminster, Colorado. He was telling us about a ghost that haunts his house. I started playing the ghost hunter. I asked questions like, if you're in this room now, give us a sign. Sure enough, you'd hear a tap or two. There was another night when we were hanging out at his house and kept hearing tapping. Another friend pulled out his camera to take a picture from where the sound was. I couldn't believe my eyes what the camera caught. It was a ghostly image of a man wearing Viking attire. He even smiled at the camera, too. There's a road in Thornton, Colorado, which has confirmed history of hauntings. It's about 10 to 15 minutes from my current house. It's called Riverdale Road. There's one story where a car will pull up behind you and want to try to race you. Supposedly, if you race them, you'll see the car disappear. It may lead to your death. I have numerous experiences on Riverdale Road, so I'm going to talk about each experience in several paragraphs. The first time I went on Riverdale Road was in 2008, around Halloween. I drove my car. We were trying to look for a tree where witch hangings once occurred. On the way to trying to find it, there was a pickup truck that had dirty windows, almost like a random truck following you in a horror movie. We realized we passed the tree, so we pulled over. The truck eventually passed us. We found the tree and pulled over, got out for a solid 20 to 30 minutes. It was creepy. The tree was on the side road. A dirt road led to a dairy far from where the tree was. You can almost picture witches walking on the road towards the tree. We were hanging out and all of a sudden heard some girls laughing, almost fairly close too. There was a little ditch off to the left of the dirt road. We kept seeing a lady in a white dress appear. My friends wanted to go. I was rather curious and wanted to stay. Remind you, I was driving. That night when I got to my house, I heard a strange click in my car as I shut it off. From that moment, which click would happen from time to time until 2016, when I got rid of it, almost 8 years. After our first experience at Riverdale Road, we went again the next night. Not much happened. The only thing was strange was when we got to the tree, we heard the strange continuous sound coming from it. Another friend and I went again a couple days later. This time, we were kind of curious and wanted to drive closer to the dairy farm. We turned around real fast. We saw a ghostly image of a man floating towards us, wearing an apron and holding up a knife. The last time I seen action on that road was in 09, the next year. We got lost trying to look for the tree. We noticed a car speeding up behind us before eventually passing us. We turned around, that same car sped up behind me. Again, went around me. We found the tree. We got out for a little bit. We then decided to drive down the road a little bit more. We then saw a shadowy figure cross us. We backed out and left. I married my wife in 2013. For our honeymoon, we stayed at Colorado's premier haunted attraction, the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park. It was strange because I noticed as I took showers in our room, I get this eerie feeling I was being watched. There was one night I was lying in bed. I was lying on my stomach. I felt pressure on my back, like someone pushing me. I quickly turned over and looked at my wife, and it was not her. We took a ghost tour at the Stanley. I thought it was really cool. There was a story of a maid that died in a fire. She'd haunt the hotel and try to break couples apart if she thought they were not properly married. I felt she could have been the one that may haunt me. We went in this musical type auditorium. There was a basement where various rooms of people had actually stayed. There was a room where a gentleman stayed and he had some mental health issues. Each time we went into that room, we had to announce who we were and that we were coming in. As you walked in the room, you can sense the comfortless. Across the hall, there was a room where a runaway girl died in a fire in 1969. Her name was Lucy. One of the ways she haunts the room is her ghost would close the door by itself. I found it really intriguing and at the same time a bit skeptical. What if the door is spring-loaded? What convinced me that this was real was there was a moment when I was out of the room. As I walked back in, the door started closing. That instance, I approached the door, stopped it, so I could walk in. In February and March, I came in contact with two mediums to make contact with my parents who have since passed on. I felt both experiences were successful. No Ouija boards or tarot cards were used. During the session I had in March, I made contact with a third person in which something interesting happened during that connection. I'm not going to talk about the medium experiences in its entirety. I'm just going to talk about the initial ghost experience at hand, as well as a detailed description of why I wanted to connect with this third person. In March, I was visiting family in Farmington, New Mexico during this season, so it was conducted via Zoom. I did it in my goddaughter's bedroom. It was the only place where I could find privacy. I made a connection with my mother as well as a second person. That person was Marilyn Monroe. However, I have my reasons why I'm going to refer to her as Norma Jean. The reason I brought her up was what really drew me to her. All of a sudden, I grew a liking to her within weeks after my mother's passing in 1998. My mother had nothing against her. Just boom, out of nowhere. I was very fascinated. That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. We give you all the free episodes. We got to do a little something extra for those who are supporting us. So if you'd like these stories, you want to hear more of them, become an extra podcast person. You're instantly going to have access to 418 bonus episodes with new ones every single week. You get access to the archive of episodes that's fallen off of whatever podcast player you're listening to. There's thousands of ones you've probably never, ever heard. You get access to all of that. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Plus, there's video content there. There's all sorts of extras for you. You get advanced episodes of the show. And it's all ad-free. So if you don't like commercials, you don't like the ads, sign up to be an extra podcast person, and boom, all that goes away. And boom, you get access to tons more content. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. There's also a link to Patreon there to go to our Patreon page. ghostpodcast.com. Go there, sign up through the website or sign up through Patreon. The link is there though at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all of it. You want to sign up for a full year, you'll get a month free at ghostpodcast.com. Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there, and sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAY-FAM or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family. Family.